Scene 3 of The Soul's Awakening. The same landscape as in Scene 2. Magnus Bellicosus, Romanus, Torquatus, and Hilary enter from the right. They continue a conversation which they have been conducting on their walk. Its content becomes so important that they stand still. Bellicosus. And if his stubborn mind remains unchanged, how can the work succeed which Hilary would dedicate in loving service to mankind? Romanus. The reasons which our friend's associate has given for his opposition have weight not just for those who form opinions based on outer facts. Do they not also correspond to occult truths? Bellicosus. And yet they do not lie within the aims of those who firmly guard our spirit goals. We were succeeded in our occult work by Benedictus's students. Hilary will create for them a field of action where their fruits of spirit can mature. Wise powers of destiny united them with us within the temple, and Hilary is answering the consecrated orders revealed to us as spirit obligations. Romanus, are you so sure that you interpret rightly this spirit order? More convincing seems the thought that Benedictus, with his students whom he in his way guided to the spirit, should stay within the temple's innermost, that they should not yet tread the rugged road to which friend Hilary would lead them. Their spirit vision changes all too quickly into a dream-filled sleepiness of soul. Bellicosus, I had not hoped to hear such words from you. They might be said by Hilary's co-worker, who gains his knowledge out of books alone, a knowledge that's indeed of little value. But you are bound to recognize the signs which are begotten on the occult path. How Benedictus's pupils were impelled to come to us speaks clearly to our souls. They're joined with us so that we can obey the revelations of their seership. Torquatus. Another sign, however, seems to show that spirit powers have not only poured abundant blessings on this work, as it was offered to us in the temple. Capacius has withdrawn from Benedictus and from the circle of his friends. The fact that he can, in its fullness, not yet feel the inner wakefulness which Benedictus expects of him, now casts obscuring shadows, too, upon the teacher's own assurance. Bellicosus, the gifts of seership lie far from me, but often I can feel how some event evokes foreboding in my soul. When first I saw Capacius at our sacred place, the thought arose oppressively that fate had placed him near and also far from us. Romanus, in this foreboding I can understand you. But in that moment I could sense that Strader was joined with us by power of destiny, more closely than the other occult friends. This kind of premonition is for me a sign that guides my soul into directions in which I then can search with reasoning. And when I turn toward action, I abolish the premonitions surging through my thinking. For me, strict occult rules are here my guide. Indeed, in spirit realms, I feel close ties to Benedictus's students. But if I have to find my way out of the inner circle, back into daily life on earth, I'd dare to take that way at Strader's side alone. During the following speech, Ahriman appears in the background and slowly crosses the stage. Torquatus. The loyal friend of Hilary does not see Strader as the sturdy spirit able effectively to serve the outer life. When I allow my inner voice to speak, it's clear to me that Strader lacks completely the genuine mood of soul for mysticism. What outer signs can prove to him, and what his reasoning can grasp of spirit life, can stimulate him, in him, the urge for research. He stands far off from inward life of spirit. What else could this man's spirit work consist of but mystically dark dream fabrications? Romanus. And still, he has not yet progressed so far upon the spirit pathways of his friends as to ally himself with inner foes who are so dangerous to many mystics when they pursue him into sense existence. Bellicosus, if you believe him safe from such attacks, no hindrance should prevent your work for Strader in order that the project is successful which Hilary would carry out through him. For when our friend's co-worker comes to hear how you revere the man he rates so low, his firm decision surely will be shaken, and only you can gain him for our cause. For well he knows that in your outer life you have invariably achieved success in everything you planned with prudent care. Romanus. If you, dear Hilary, will give to Strader a field of work with you, and yet will keep the other students Benedictus guides, with no illusions outside your activities, you will not stand alone. For I will offer, besides the help that Bellicosus asks, all earthly means in order to assist effectively the splendid plan of Strader. Hilary. How can you think that Strader, at this time, from Benedictus's students, would depart to follow his own spirit goals alone? His friends are just as close as he is to himself. Romanus. They may be close to him as human beings, but that part only of his soul which still is wrapped in spirit sleep can well believe that they, in spirit too, are one with him. And yet I think that it will soon be clear how this part too matures to waking life. The four exit to the left. From the other side appear Capacius, Strader, Felix Balda, and Felicia Balda, pausing in their walk because of the significance of their words. Capacius. One task alone at present can I follow, to seek the spirit on inner paths of soul. Were I to load myself with outer work to bring to life the spirit in realms of sense, I'd boldly have to try to grasp the truth of earth existence in those worlds whose essence to me has not yet come to full reality. I can behold of cosmic life no more than has already shaped itself to me. How shall my work do good to other men if I, creating, but enjoy myself? Strader, I think you mean, in each creative act, you imprint alone the stamp of your own self, and so impart through this, in every deed, your self-will only to the outer world? Capacius, till I, with my own inward world, encounter a being strange to me. Then that is so. With pain, I've had to realize how far I now can penetrate another soul, when for a while I wakened into clearness. Felix Balda, you utter words I've never heard from you, but never have I understood so well as now when you are only speaking for yourself. There sounds within your words the mystic mood which I've austerely sought for many years. This mood alone is able to perceive the light in which man's spirit feels itself with clearest sight within the cosmic spirit. Capacius, because I sensed how close I've come to you, did I take flight to you from all the turmoil that wanted to destroy my inner world? Strader, I often understood what you are saying. I took it then for wisdom. But no word of what you say has meaning for me now. Capacius and Felix both, to me, conceal dark meaning in transparent words. I wonder if these words of yours are merely the outer cloak of forces, of soul forces that exile me from you into those worlds which lie remote from all your spirit paths, to worlds for which I've no desire, because deep in my soul I love that world of yours. It is not hard to bear the opposition which from outside is threatening my work. Yes, even if my will were to be shattered by opposition, still I'd uphold myself. But I can never do without your world. Felix Balda. A man cannot attain the spirit world by wanting to unlock it through his seeking. Some time ago you gave me pleasure when you spoke to me about your mechanism, for it was found by true enlightenment and not by reason set on finding it. Then you were closer to the mystic mood. To strive for nothing, wait in peaceful stillness, one's inmost being filled with expectation, that is the mystic mood. When waked in man, it leads his inmost soul to realms of light. Our outer work cannot endure this mood. If you, through mysticism, strive for this, your own delusion will destroy its life. Strata, I am in need of you, but cannot find you. A life uniting us, you do not value. How can men come together for world action if mystics never lay aside self-interest? Felix Balder, the fragile being of the inner sight you cannot take into the world of action, for it will fade as vision when you cross the border of this world's absorbing life. Impiety, revering spirit sway, with spirit sight reposing in the heart, thus mystics should approach the world of deeds. Capacious, and if they otherwise would enter it, effects of error it would show to them, but not the radiant being of true wisdom. Into another's soul just now I looked. I knew my sight was not deceiving me, yet only that soul's error could I see. This was my fate for spoiling spirit sight by my desire for outer deeds on earth. Strater, so speaks Capacius, who has advanced beyond me far upon the paths of soul. But spirit vision rises in me only when I devote myself to thoughts of action. My soul is flooded then with living hope to build an earthly home for spirit deeds, a place in which the light shall be enkindled to radiate and warm the spirit worlds, the light which through men's sense activity will seek anew a home in earthly life. Am I the son of error? Not your son, you wisdom-filled and wide-flung spirit realms. Strader turns away for a moment from the others. He has the following spirit vision. Benedictus, Maria, and Ahriman appear in real spirit communion, though as his thought forms. First Benedictus with Ahriman, then Maria. Benedictus. In wisdom-filled and wide-flung spirit realms, you sense approaching help for pains of doubt, that age-long secrets of your inner life allow to weigh upon your earthly thinking. Now, listen to the answer. Through my voice, which wide expanses of the spirit world are willing to reveal from depths of soul, but learn to understand what you believe you know, and often boldly put in words, yet merely dream within your own soul being. Give to your dreams the life which I can offer while bound to you in spirit. But transform to dream existence what your thinking draws forth for you from sense experience. Capacius and Felix banish you out of the spirit light which they behold. They open the abyss between themselves and you. Do not complain that they have done this thing, but gaze into your own abyss. Ahriman, dare to gaze there, and so perceive what seems to you most worthy of human spirit in evolution's course. Much better would it be if other spirits could show you this while dull in your soul sleep, but Benedictus shows it while you are waking, and thus you kill the answer as you look. Yes, dare to gaze there. Strater, I will dare. But what? The shapes confused. They're changing and they're tearing, each tearing at the other like a battle. The phantoms rush upon each other wildly. Destruction reigns and generates fierce darkness. Out of the darkness, other shadow beings, etheric brightness round them, rose red weaving. One of the figures clearly frees itself and comes to me, sent from the dark abyss. Maria appears out of the abyss and comes forward. Maria, demons you see. If you build up your strength, then they are not. To you they must appear what they are not. If you can hold them fast until their phantom being is illumined before your soul life, they will show how high their order is in world becoming. Your vision, though, may be extinguished in you before they have revealed their shining might. You can illumine them with your own light. Where is your light? You radiate fierce darkness. Perceive your darkness round about yourself. You pour confusing darkness into light. You feel it pouring forth through your creating. Yet you can never feel what you create. whereas you would forget creating's thirst. Unknown to you, it dominates your being, because your cowardice holds back your light. This light of yours you would enjoy, and yet yourself in it is what you will enjoy. You seek yourself by seeking in forgetting. Dreaming, you sink yourself into yourself.
Ahriman, yes, listen to her. She can solve your riddles, but her solutions will not help you solve them. She gives you wisdom so that you may turn your steps with it to foolishness. She might be good for you in future when the spirit day shines for you bright and clear, but when Maria speaks into your dreaming, she kills your riddle's answer by her counsel. Yes, listen to her.
Stotter, what do these words desire to do, Maria? Are they born out of the light? Out of my light? Or can it be my darkness from which they sound? Speak, Benedictus, who brought me counsel from the dark abyss.
Benedictus, at your abyss she sought you out. So spirits seek out men to shelter them from beings who form phantoms for men's souls, and who confuse the cosmic spirit's rule with darkness. Then the souls can only see reality within the web of self. Gaze further into your abyss.
Strotter, what is alive there in the abyss's depths?
Benedictus, behold the shadows. On the right, the bluish-red enticing Felix.
Look upon the others. At left, red, gently brightening to yellow.
They press on hard to reach Capacius. They both can feel the power of these shadows, and each in solitude creates the light that halts such shadows, which deceive men's souls.
Ahriman, he would do better if he showed to you your shadows, and yet he almost cannot do it, although he truly does not lack good will. He does not notice where to seek these shades. They stand behind you, dangerously near, and it is you yourself concealing them.
Strotter, so here at the abyss I have to listen to words which I considered only foolish when Hilary's adviser uttered them.
Maria,
while Felix tempers for himself the weapons which shield him against danger, one who walks your paths of soul must use another kind. The sword Capacius forges for himself and bravely wields in battle with his foes must change for Strotter to a shadow sword, were he to start with it that spirit war which powers of destiny ordain for souls who mightily must turn the spirit being, matured for deeds to earth activity. You cannot use their weapons for yourself, but you must know them so that you can forge your own from outsoul substance thoughtfully.
The figures of Benedictus, Ahriman, and Maria disappear, that is, from outward sight.
Strada returns from his spirit vision. He looks around for Capacius, Felix Balder, and Felicia, who again join him. He has seated himself on a rock.
Felix Balder, dear Strada, did the spirit not just now drive you away from us?
So it seemed to me.
He pauses in the expectation that Strotter will reply, but since Strotter remains silent, Felix continues.
I did not want to banish you unkindly from out our group to other ways of life. I only wish to keep you back from yielding to delusions that perplex you. What spirit sees in spirit should be received and taken up by souls in spirit only. How foolish if Felicia should take the magic creatures living in your soul, which only want to be perceived in souls, and let them dance upon a puppet stage. Their magic charm would be completely lost.
Felix Balder, I think that I've been silent long enough, and speak I will if with your mystic mood you even want to bless my fairy sprites. They'd thank you kindly if their power were first sucked out of them, and then with mystic pap you'd try to nurse them back to life again. With all respect to mysticism, it should keep its nose out of my fairy realms.
Capacius, Felicia, was it not your fairy tales that set me first upon the spirit path? The spirits of the air and of the water, which you called up before my thirsting soul, were messengers to me from out those worlds to which at present I seek mystic entrance.
Felicia, yet since you came with this new mystic mood into our house, you've hardly asked to know what all my lovely magic beings want. You've more or less allowed at times the ones which show a dignified and solemn face, but those who gaily dance and bounce with joy cause you quite mystical discomfort.
Capasius, undoubtedly, some day I'll understand the deeper meaning of these wondrous beings, who show their wisdom in such merry masks, but now my strength is not yet up to it.
Felix, Felicia, you know how much I love the fairy beings which reveal themselves to you, but to imagine them mechanical, embodied dolls, this goes against the grain.
Felicia,
I have not so presented them to you, for that you stand too high.
But I was glad when I was told of Strada's plan, and heard Tomasius too intends to show how spirit can enter into matter, sense perceived. I saw in spirit all my fairy princes, my fire souls too, dance merrily on thousands of puppet stages, shaped with artistry. And so, with inner happiness, I left them to find their way to many, many children.
Curtain, end of scene 3.